Okay, welcome back to Goalie News, May 4th, recorded on May 4th too. A couple of the headlines before we get into it. BCHL, British Columbia Hockey League, which is Junior A, disassociating themselves with Hockey Canada. What does that actually mean? Is Marc-Andre Fleury done after his one-year contract? And goalie training for the summer. Eastern Conference, before we get into the headlines and break all that down, because that's going to be the main conversation. Eastern Conference, second round. First round, absolutely crazy. All the game sevens, it's kind of old news now, but none of those game sevens went the way I was expecting them to go. This is going to make for some pretty interesting playoff hockey. Kind of excited to watch it all now to see who wins. Carolina Hurricanes versus New Jersey Devils. The Canes absolutely embarrassed the Devils. 5-1, 22 shots for the Canes, 18 shots for the Devils. Frederick Anderson started for the Hurricanes, one goal, 94.4 save percentage in that one game. Overall, he's played two games now. He has a 0.95 goals against average and a 96.2 save percentage, which is pretty crazy. He started game six, winning 2-1 in OT. Game six being in the last round against the Islanders. Cody, do you think he's the full starter now, or will Rantanen get another chance to take the crease?
Well, I think looking at putting him in a game six, and they were up in the series to start, but throwing him in after not playing for a while, I think that goes to show that he is going to be the starter for them.
Yeah, I think they kind of did it right compared to Boston, right? They kind of had a tandem going all season.
They had a little bit of cushion when they threw him in. They had a little bit of a safe spot throwing him in because they were up in the series.
Exactly, right? It's not sudden death yet.
Yeah,
Rantanen was still playing well, not as good as he was in game one and two, but well. And honestly, I think Frederick Anderson just stole the net from Rantanen, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right? Getting the 2-1 win in OT to seal the series speaks volumes. New Jersey Devils. Schmid started the game and was pulled after three goals on 11 shots. Vedek Vanecek. His name always chokes me up. Came in, stopped 10 shots out of 11. Who do you think is going to start the next game?
For me, I wouldn't be surprised if they throw Akira back in. I was watching the goals that he let in. It wasn't, especially that third goal getting batted out of midair. You can't throw that on the goalie's fault. He's played stellar this whole series or the whole playoffs. Yeah. You can't throw a game like that on him, especially in the first period. The Devils had one shot on net, which was a dump in from the red line. You can't put a game like that on the goalie. Vanecek did come in and take, he did his job.
He calmed it down.
He calmed it down, but I think if you're going for who's going to give you the win, I'm going to go with Akira.
Okay. The Devils did score on their second shot on goal, which was 5 minutes into the second period. I just wanted to make note of that because I thought that was a bit ridiculous. And it was a breakaway. So Frederick Anderson saw one shot from the red line in the first period. And then nothing, just played the puck and then got a breakaway and got scored on. Wasn't a good move either.
The one shot apparently kind of fooled them too, because it was a bounce. It was a bouncing. Those are tough ones.
They are, but he stayed in the game, right? They ended with 18 shots total.
Yeah.
So he mentally, he was there, which is kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
All right. Toronto Maple Leafs versus Florida Panthers. Panthers won 4-2. A little surprised with the score, to be honest with you. The Leafs had 36 shots against. Panthers had 28. I think this is dangerous, right? Sergei Bobrovsky, 2 goals against, 94.4 save percentage. Overall, doesn't look that good because he had that one crazy game against Boston. I think he let 6 in. But right now, he has a 3.58 goals against average and 90.1. He is trending upwards almost to like vintage Bobrovsky style, where it's just impossible to beat him.
Yeah.
Right? You need to get lucky. For the Leafs, do you think they can get lucky a second time in a row, like a second series, going up against a very good goalie?
I'm not sure. They did it already going against Vasilevskiy, and they proved scoring that many goals a game on one of the best goalies, if not the best goalie in the world. So it's proven that they can do it. It's just a different level now. It's a different type of game because the Panthers are quote underdog teams, or the underdog team in that first series. Are they going to come out and play like that? And it's a different type of game playing as an underdog versus the big dog.
Yeah, they're playing. They have nothing to lose.
Nope.
Right. They've already broken an NHL record by beating Boston. They have nothing to lose. Yeah. They're not supposed to be here. Toronto Maple Leafs, Ilya Samsonov, 4 goals against. On the 28 shots, 85.7 save percentage. Overall, he has a 3.29 goals against average, 89.4 save percentage. Do you think Ilya can find another level to in his game to stop the puck, like to get over 900 or 90 save percentage?
That's a hard one. Like, they have... Who's their starting goalie?
Ilya Samsonov.
Like for
Murray?
Matt Murray. So Samsonov is technically the backup to Murray. I don't know if we've seen, like, it, in context with him, if he's healthy. That's what Murray was there for. But I don't know if I've seen Samsonov be that guy. Like he's been there. But I don't know if we've ever actually seen him at that level. We haven't seen him at the level that he's able to steal things.
I've seen him dominate games, right? But not in a row.
No. Well, who's proven that he can steal series or steal games. Samsonov, every goalie in the NHL can steal a game. But not every goalie in the NHL is able to steal a series.
Yeah. Bob, if he's playing like Bob can steal more than a series.
Yep.
Right? I would almost say he's better than Vasilevskiy if he was more consistent and kind of in his old ways.
Yeah.
So, unlucky for Toronto. Great news for Florida, but unlucky for Toronto. They went from a very hard team and arguably one of the best goalies arguably the best goalie in the world to a goalie that's finding his rhythm and should be one of the best goalies in the world. Oh, I forgot to ask. Carolina Devils, who do you have coming out?
Carolina Devils. I have Hurricanes. I'm going to say 5 games.
Cans and 5. I got, Hurricanes and 5 too. Toronto, Florida.
I'm going to get Florida in 6.
I'm going to go with my same pick from last time and say Leafs in 6. Hoping. Seattle Kraken versus Dallas Stars. 5-4 OT for the Kraken. Kraken have 44 shots. Stars have 35. Philip Grubauer, 4 goals against, 88 save percentage. Overall, 2.57 goals against average, 92.1 save percentage. He found his game. It took a bit in the playoffs. His last games in the playoffs were 2020 and 21 with Colorado. He's turning into a threat, right? I don't know if you remember him in the playoffs. He was dominant. And at the time, Colorado was just missing a few pieces.
Yeah.
I was very surprised when he went to Seattle. Still fully don't understand why. But if he didn't, he'd have a cup ring. Could this be the year that Grubauer carries his team to the finals?
I think so. He's already, I think he stole that first round playing against the top
team. He stole the right two games.
Yes.
In the first round.
Yeah. So especially that game seven.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. The Kraken should not be here. Grubauer kept them alive.
Yeah.
Dallas Stars, Jake. Oh, sorry, you go.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, that he's for sure going to be able to steal some games. He stole some games already. And then game one, your team wins a game for you. You let in four, your team scores five. That's your team winning a game for you. So he has to steal a game for them and get up 2-0.
Yeah, that's a good segue. They scored five. I think on Jake Oettinger, that's pretty rare. Jake Oettinger, 5 goals against, 88.6 save percentage, exact same as Grubauer in that game. Overall, 2.35 goals against average, 92.1 save percentage. Again, almost identical stats to Grubauer. Jake Oettinger has always made a name and reputation for himself in big moments, aka playoffs, World Juniors. I'm sure there's something else, but I can't remember. Is Jake Oettinger the next dominant goalie in the NHL?
I think he's trending to be that way. I've really only known him for 2 years now, and all I hear from him is good things of how dominant he actually is. So I think he can be the next thing. He's taken a team kind of under his wing and brought them. He's done his job and brought them into the playoffs as a steady team.
He is only 24 years old.
Yeah, he's really young.
He might be one of the youngest goalies to make this kind of a difference on a team. Like a huge, you could say Vasilevskiy, but they had Ben Bishop, who was Vezina finalist a few years in a row, and then they just let him go. And Vasilevskiy kind of took over from there.
Vasilevskiy had a few years of being that number two guy and working his way up into the system. Oettinger kind of just got kind of thrown into it last playoff.
I think he just earned it, to be honest with you. He just earned it, and he didn't really take it over from anyone.
No.
A couple of guys got injured. And it was him and I can't think of the guy's name.
Wedgwood?
Who is the goalie that we talked about got traded to Chicago and then passed the puck to the other team, got scored on?
Three.
It starts with a K. An end. Kudobin. Kudobin. Yeah. Right? He took the crease over from Kudobin in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? So there's people out there that are calling him the next Carey Price. I think I'll hesitate and wait for that. Carey Price was a great goalie on a bad team his whole career, and he still had the numbers he had. Mm-hmm. Oettinger, I think, should be fighting for the cup, if not this year, probably in the next 5 years. People also said John Gibson was going to be the next Carey Price. He's good. He's, I would say, above the norm. They also said Thatcher Demko was going to be the next Carey Price. Again, he's above the average. right? Jake Ottinger is above the average right now, but is stuck in that second wave of above average people, right? So anyways, side note, Joe Pavelski scores 4 goals on 6 shots, first game back from injury. That's a bit concerning, considering they lost the game. The Stars lost the game 5-4, right? You can't have one player score all 4 goals, but that's a kind of a cool story, coming back from injury, getting into it right away. Who do you have coming out of that series?
I'm thinking Dallas is going to get into that series, but I think it's going to go to 7.
Really? I wouldn't mind seeing Dallas come out. I think it's going to be a good series. I think Grubauer has a little bit more of that stealing power in tight games. I think I'm going to go Seattle in 6. All right. Edmonton Oilers, Vegas Golden Knights. 6-4 for the Golden Knights. Oilers had 27 shots on net. Knights had 33. Edmonton Oilers, Stuart Skinner, 5 goals against, 84.4 save percentage overall in the playoffs. He has 3.43 goals against average and an 89.0 save percentage. There's one goal, I think it was the 5th one. The pass across on a rush into a one-timer. Stuart Skinner flat out looked like he had the movement of Mike Smith, right? Not a lot of lateral movement and just hoping his limbs could get there. Kind of scared me, kind of had flashbacks last year when the Oilers had to outscore their opponents crazy high. Do you think Stuart Skinner, even though he's a rookie, all of this stuff, I'm not trying to put hate out there on him, but do you think he's the goalie for the job this year? I believe he is for later years, but do you think he can get it done this year?
I think he can get it done. I think that if you're a goalie playing for the Oilers, your job's, you might allow a little bit more goals, but your job's a little bit easier in the sense that your team's going to score more goals anyways. So I think getting the job done is a little bit of a off statement just because it's the Oilers, knowing that you have players that can put the puck in the net no matter what.
Yeah. In saying that, there's only one player that scored for the Golden Knights, or sorry, for the Oilers.
Yeah.
Right? Draisaitl scores all 4 goals. Like, that's also concerning as well.
Yeah.
Now, in the playoffs, what I mean to when I say get the job done is really just make the saves you probably should, and then an extra couple that you really shouldn't, right? Mm-hmm. And or just winning the game.
Yeah.
Finding out how you can stop one more shot than the other goalie on the other side of the ice. Kind of like Chris Osgood. I don't know if he's the guy this year. I think they're going to have to rely on Skinner and Campbell.
Yeah.
Like, I think Campbell should start the next game because some of those goals were pretty weak. Those, I think I would put them on Skinner. You're going to have, I like what you're saying, and it's a different situation compared to other goalies on other teams. You're going to have a little bit more higher scoring opportunities on you, but you know that going in.
Yeah.
Right? Prepare for it, be a smart goalie, and make those saves. Right, you're in the National Hockey League for a reason, because you should be able to make those saves. Anyways, Laurent Brossoit, 4 goals against, 85.2 save percentage overall, 2.42 goals against average, 91.5 save percentage. Did he find his place? Right, he bounced around a little bit. Is this where Laurent Brossoit is supposed to be in the NHL?
I'm a little bit biased.
Now, I know you have a friend on the team, yeah. Right?
I'm biased.
And I know sure. they have four NHL quality goalies. Is Laurent Brossoit the future?
Do we know how old he is? Like,
I do. He is, I think, 2 years older than I am, which puts him at 30, but I could be wrong. He might actually be younger than me. He is 30.
30?
Yeah. Born 1993. He's only 1 year older than me.
I think a lot of it is going to have to do with age, not age of him, but age of Quick, and also being healthy of Thompson. Hill kind of out of the picture, down, got sent down to the minors. They're done now. Henderson's done. But Brossoit, Quick, and Thompson, I think it's going to be a duel for first place, basically. Like, I don't see Quick going anywhere else. I think it's going to be Brossoit versus Thompson once Thompson's healthy. But it depends on how far Brossoit can push this team in the playoffs. If they can get to the finals, you might have just pushed your way into first spot.
Yeah. Jonathan Quick's contract is up this year.
Yeah.
Based on how Brossoit is doing, I don't think he's going to get signed back to Vegas. I don't understand the trade at all, but I don't think he's coming back. Say, have three goalies that should be in the NHL.
Yeah. Either I'm wondering maybe he gets signed at a smaller percent, like if they don't sign him for as much.
Quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like cap minimum almost.
Yeah. Just to have him as like a leader role on the team. If they need him, you know you can rely on him.
Yeah, but at the same time, like Andon Hill's played in the NHL for 3-4 years, two of them as a starting goalie with Arizona. Like,
yeah,
he's not just going to be an AHL goalie overnight. Like, based on those guys' contracts, you're either going to have to re-sign them or let them go.
Yeah.
Right? Thompson's earned the right for sure. Yeah. But with four goalies, including himself, like, he's going to have to keep fighting for it.
Yeah, he will. I think I don't think that's a bad thing either.
It's healthy.
I think it's healthy too. He's a young guy and he kind of he's earned his spot in that position, but I think he might've been comfy, if that makes sense. And having a little bit of pushback with another guy is going to fuel him to come out and then know that he has to do better than the other guys.
I think another thing, I keep comparing Quick situation to Ryan Miller.
Yeah.
Right? That's almost unfair because Ryan Miller was playing behind John Gibson, who is supposed to be, like I said before, the next Carey Price.
Yeah.
Right? John Gibson is a great goalie. If he was on a better team, I'm sure they'd have a lot more success and he would have a lot more personal success. But Ryan Miller just had to fill in here and there.
Yeah.
Logan Thompson, Brossoit, and Hill, while they have the possibility to be a good goalie, I don't know if they have the possibility to be a great goalie. Right? If that makes sense. It sounds harsh, but there's different levels, right? Vasilevskiy is a
top tier
world-class goalie. Henrik Lundqvist, world-class goalie, right?
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury, maybe not world-class, but the one step down, still dominates.
Yeah.
Right? And then looking at an older guy, Dan Couture, not a great goalie. Good goalie, not a great goalie.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think the three guys have the capability to be a good goalie, which means Quick would have to step in more often than Miller did. Either way, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, getting into the actual headlines. Thank you if you stayed around. BCHL, British Columbia Hockey League, Junior A, which is out here in BC, is disassociating themselves with Hockey Canada, which means, which means technically they're just not underneath the Hockey Canada umbrella. They're running it as a outlaw program currently, and that could have some pretty serious ramifications for the players playing for one of those teams. I did not look that up. When did the BCHL stop attending our BC Cup?
That would have been like 2 years ago.
Like COVID?
Yeah.
BCHL goes rogue 2021. Set to part ways. Oops. BCHL in the last championship game 2019.
Yeah.
Prince George. Tough last team to go to. In 2019, the BCHL played its last game for the RBC Cup. The RBC Cup is a tournament in which the winner of each Junior A league in Canada, in the provinces, essentially, right, go and play essentially the Memorial Cup for Junior A.
Yep.
It's big, it's huge. In 2019, after the Prince George Spruce Kings attended, BCHL pulled out. They haven't been back since. So ever since then, I think people saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there an underlying reason? Yes, there always is. Is it money? I don't know. I'm trying to find out more information, but there is a league, a minor hockey league, it's called the JPHL, that I think is the underlying reason. Right now, the JPHL is an outlaw league, and Hockey Canada does not recognize it as an affiliate. So that means if you go to that league, you technically cannot play Junior A or WHL in Canada. Okay. Which they might have better development in that league. Yes. But if you can't make a team easy, right? Maybe there's paperwork and appeal process and a waiting process with Hockey Canada to get back into being a member of Hockey Canada. Is it worth it? Okay. The BCHL is doing is making it a little bit easier for those players to find a home for junior hockey. Now, this is going to be a rabbit hole, and we're going to get into this conversation in a few weeks when we find out more information. But what I think is going to happen is Hockey Canada is going to start allowing these air quotes outlaw players into Junior A around the country because their hand has been forced by the BCHL, which is the air quotes more prestige Junior A or leagues in Canada. What this could mean in the short term, if you're currently playing Junior A in BC and you want to stay a member of Hockey Canada, a lot of players are going to ask for releases and start flooding the Alberta Junior Hockey League, Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, Manitoba Junior Hockey League, which in turn, those leagues that might be lower caliber are going to rise up, right? Their gameplay elevation is going to elevate. What this could also mean in the short term, if you decide to stay with your team in the BC Hockey League, you're foregoing your right to try out for U18, U16 for Team Canada, and potentially have the opportunity to go to the World Juniors, because the league you play for is not Hockey Canada. This is kind of a pay attention to, right? Long-term effects. I think long-term effects is going to be nothing after these first 2 years of trial run, but these first 2 years of trial run are pretty important for new players coming up into junior age. So it is going to be a topic that we talk about. I think, again, there's going to be a way that these players can play for Hockey Canada once again, and they're not going to be punished for the league in which they either live closest to or decide to sign them. Do you have any thoughts on that, Cody?
I think it's going to be hard knowing that you're playing for a league that you're kind of stuck in. Like, you know the only way out is up.
In all fairness, it could also be a nice thing. If you're 17, you sign with Burn Vipers, you can't go anywhere else. Maybe there's a little bit more commitment from the team and organization to develop you in 4 years or 3 years.
Yeah. I guess I've been a part of junior hockey for a while now, and I kind of know the process of it. You can, like, teams are sometimes ruthless.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes they don't care about you. They care about more of what the team's going to be like. You sign, you play a game, they don't like what they see, you could be done. Like,
they could be done. Just
kind of throw you under the bus.
Now, that could all change, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what this means for Merritt, Trail, and PG, places that pull in lower number of seats. I think there's going to be a new regulation on rink size, attendance size, and you have to hit the quotas. I think we're going to look at a few teams dropping. Now, what this also means for Junior B in BC, you can't take any kids from Junior A, right? Yep. Because technically they're outlaw kids right now. That could change before the season even happens. But yep. Technically, you can't be like, hey, why don't you come play for us in AP up?
Yeah.
There is no up besides the WHL. The only up is going to be Alberta Hockey Junior League, which might mean Junior B and BC gets flooded outwards as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, part of the reason for me coming into the KI was the opportunity to go up into the BCHL.
Yeah.
And with that being taken away, you might get players like myself from Manitoba not as interested in driving or flying all that way to BC to not have that opportunity to go up. Cause my only chance would either be to come back into Manitoba or other junior A leagues or WHL, which is sort of out of thought at that time.
Yeah. Now I wish I typed out the BCHL statement. Maybe we'll get into that later, but they said that they're the number one scholarship league in Canada, which I don't disagree with, but they've been the top for a long time. Nothing's changed, right? If anything, Alberta's kind of catching up, but it's still a far margin, right? The BCHL might have essentially just shot themselves in the foot and allowing the AJ to really catch up. What I think maybe is this going to make recruiting, they said that it's going to make recruiting players to the NCAA easier. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
It's going to make teams like Penticton that find very good players that are all like should already be committed by the time they come in. It's going to make them a lot more dangerous. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's still unfolding as we talk. So we're going to try to find some background information.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing we're going to talk about today, Marc-Andre Fleury. Is he done after this upcoming season? You think so?
Hope not.
You hope not?
I hope not. He's my favorite goalie.
Same. He is definitely one of my favorite goalies. I could see him retiring and staying around the game somehow.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I could see him retiring and coming back to a team that he loves, like Pittsburgh, and then being a goalie coach or something. Like, he's going to be a part of the dressing room. He loves the dressing room. That's who he is.
Yeah. I think unless he has a stellar year, right, another show-stopping year, and he takes over the starting role from Gustafsson, right? Right now, that kind of looks a little hard to do, but you never know. Right, Fleury seems like one of those guys backs against the wall. He's going to come swinging.
Yep.
So it's a possibility. He has 1 year left on his contract, which is this upcoming season. Who knows? Maybe he gets traded, or maybe Pittsburgh signs him for one more game and he retires as a Penguin.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be full circle.
He deserves that for sure.
If he wants it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he feels about being treated like that.
Yeah.
But anyways, this has been the Goalie News May 4th. See you next week.